You are listening to WMRWLP, broadcasting out of Warren, Vermont, at 94.5 FM on your dial, and streaming live at WMRW.org. The following program presents the views of its participants and producers. It does not necessarily represent the views of WMRW or its license holder, RootsWork. Good afternoon, folks. You are listening to the 5-H Radio Show, and the 5-H's stand for Health, Happiness, Harmony, Humor, and Humanity. And today, it is September 8th, 2024, and I am live in the station today with a guest. We are taking a break from our political discussions here for a little bit, and we're going to talk about health and healing. I'm just loving it because we are so fortunate today to have Dr. Susie Harris live in the studio. And Dr. Susie is an owner and functional health physician at Cedarwood Natural Health Center in South Burlington, Vermont. Serving Vermont and New England area for 25 years as a root cause medicine practitioner. She provides applied kinesiology, chiropractic, autonomic response muscle testing methods, and individualized nutritional healing programs for all ages. She has a 21-day cleanse and reset course coming up, and a lot of other interesting things going on, a podcast and videos. And if you want to follow along, you can go to her website at cedarwoodnaturalhealthcenter.com. That's cedarwoodnaturalhealthcenter.com, and you can be learning about Susie as we all learn together. Here we go. Thank you for coming in the studio today. How are you today?
I'm doing great. Thank you for having me.
Yeah, we were just talking about what a lovely ride it is.
Oh, my goodness. Yeah, I drove from Winooski. Mm-hmm. Incredible. Yeah, the colors are just starting to kick in. It's gorgeous.
Yeah, the sun is shining and the wind's blowing those beautiful leaves around.
Here it is. Fall's coming. This is it.
Yeah.
My garden's still popping, though. Did you garden?
Yes.
Yeah. I still have some stuff.
Yeah. It's probably the best garden year I've had ever, I think.
Yeah. I had a tomato plant that took over a greenhouse in a way that was a tiny bit creepy, but it's been fun.
Like, feed me.
Exactly.
Yeah. Those tomatoes can turn into monsters.
Oh, my God. Yeah.
Oh, good. But so good for you.
Yeah. It's been nice to kind of pull stuff off. It's too much for myself and my partner, so we've had to keep shuffling it off to people and sharing stuff. And you know how you get, you're like, oh, God, please don't bring me one more cucumber. Because everybody's gardens are popping.
Yeah. Yeah, the abundance. Celebrating abundance.
Yes. Yes. It feels good.
It does. Yes. I feel like we waited a long time for this big celebration.
And it seemed like things came out a little later. Like, I was like, where are all the bees? We have a lot of flowers in our yard that usually draw a lot of bees. Tons of slugs this year. And then now they're all coming. So I was like, huh, maybe it's just like a interesting delayed activity. I don't know. But they're all buzzing around now.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's good.
Yeah. They're loving it. Yeah. So you have been practicing for 25 years.
I know.
Yeah.
I gotta say, I still feel like a baby in the field. The doctors that I study under have been on the ground 50 plus years and are always sharing their many years of experience. But yeah, 25, it's actually, recently I thought to myself, you know, you got to own that, girl.
Yeah.
You got some witnessing under your belt there. So I've seen a lot of different things and feel like I've learned a lot of different things over those 25 years.
Yeah. So tell us, how did you get started doing healing arts work?
Well, you know, I guess if I go to the very start, in my 20s, I had a car accident where I hit my head on the windshield. It wasn't terrible, but it wasn't great. And I didn't know about chiropractors then. That was in the early 80s. And I moved from Michigan to Minneapolis, and I was looking for an osteopath because that was the first person that kind of started to get me out of trouble with the pain I was in. And there weren't really many there, but there were tons of chiropractors. So long story short, I had a applied kinesiology chiropractor was my first experience of chiropractic, so I thought everybody did it that way. But from there, got very curious, like the things I learned healing myself with that doctor, and then I worked for him for a little while. But yeah, it sort of started there.
Excellent. Mm-hmm. Yeah, so applied kinesiology, and that is a little different from like the crack chiropractor, right? Is that how they...
Well, you know, it's interesting. It's a vague term because applied kinesiology can be a descriptor for lots of different methods, like I would say physical therapists and maybe, you know, anybody working with the body. But for chiropractic, you're using muscle testing, which we can get into if you'd like later what how that works. But you essentially, if a patient has a strong arm when you push on it, you can use the nervous system through that muscle strength test to touch over the different joints. And if you touch over a joint that is out of alignment, there's some inflammation, irritation there, it will bother the nervous system a bit. You won't feel that necessarily. But if you have a strong arm when we're pushing, I'm touching down joints, and if I touch over an area that's out of alignment or has some stress going on, the arm will go weak.
Oh.
And it's not really a weak muscle. It's the nervous system just went through a reaction because I stressed something. So it's a very multifaceted approach. You're taking a look at adjusting different muscle patterns, nutrition. One of the things I love the most is the organ-muscle relationship. So you pay attention to the kidney can affect the hip flexors. So if someone's not shoring up and holding their pelvic adjustments or low back adjustments, you might start looking at what's going on with the kidney, which could be dehydration or too much sugar. So then you get into the whole nutrition piece of things, right? So you're talking about healthy food and hydration. And so very holistic approach to chiropractic.
Wow. Yeah. And so have you just sort of been learning as you go and your patients guiding you into these different needs that they have?
Yeah, I would say that one was, you know, when I decided to go study to be a chiropractor, I was pretty clear I wanted to do the applied kinesiology style. But you have to go get that base training first. It's very, like, medical oriented. You have to have your pre-medical, you know, coursework to get in. It's like 5 academic years to get your training license handled, but then you can go off and specialize in different types, like non-force. There are some really great docs in our area, Heather Rice, Julieta Rushford. They do like a light touch energy based work on the spine. And then traditional chiropractic, where you're just adjusting the joints and helping people with postural restoration, all these great styles. And then applied kinesiology has its own little twist with the muscle testing and that sort of thing. I will say, I got interested in what takes up most of my practice time now, alongside the chiropractic, but you can use that muscle testing to test over acupuncture alarm points that are connected to organs and glands. So instead of checking over joints, you're checking over kidney, thyroid, lungs, gut, and if the arm goes weak, it means wherever we're checking is under stress. So there are homeopathic test kits that come in. Let's say your liver tests weak. I can use these homeopathic frequency kits to understand why did the liver go weak. It could be a dietary thing. It could be metal toxicity. It could be fungal parasitic. So it gives you where are things off, and then part of the why, which lets you build a plan that's clinically specific to each person. Like, all right, what are we going to do to get things open and flowing and functioning higher, which makes you need less chiropractic from me. And eventually your lifestyle and all the things you learn along the way are how you sustain feeling great, and you can be more self-sufficient, which is what I love.
Yeah, it seems very holistic.
Yeah.
You know, looking at your website.
And it's a long sentence, so that was a lot.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Well, it can be so, unexpected. Mm-hmm. You know, like I love how on your website you're explaining how it might feel like it's your thigh or your knee, but it turns out you know, it could be up in your jaw.
That's
know?
Right.
Yeah. We're all connected.
Mm-hmm. That was the other thing. Applied kinesiology does pull in some craniosacral.
Ah.
So there's some really great up-ledger trained craniosacral therapists in our area. That's a very meticulous approach to craniosacral. Applied kinesiology chiropractic brings in a layer of that, as well as acupuncture, doing acupressure. But if someone's not really holding that surface work that I would do, I'd send them to our folks that are deeper reaching in those areas. So mm-hmm. what I love about my job, too, is I am really well networked with some cool people. So when mm-hmm. someone's in my office and I can see, oh, my goodness, they should totally be talking to so-and-so. So kind of triaging, helping people optimize their targets, you know, get their health in a good spot.
Yeah, making the world a happier place all around.
Yeah, it's all about vitality, right? Like, what right. are you here for if you're not enjoying things?
Right.
And so...
Yeah, mm-hmm. and it is hard when people aren't. Mm-hmm. So it's so nice to have a tool, a huge toolbox, it sounds like, to help them.
Yeah, I love this lens. And I will say, it doesn't replace anything. Like, it's not, this is all you need and you can get rid of your other mm-hmm. amazing team you have. But it is an awesomely powerful lens. To go look, I'll say the post-COVID stuff has been a really big deal for folks who just didn't recover from being sick mm-hmm. or maybe folks who had a hard time with a shot. The docs I study under, Dr. Diederik Klinghardt, Henry Ely, Pierre Corey, all these great guys, Peter McCullough, who have been on the front lines with treating folks and keeping them out of trouble, and then also figuring out how do we help folks get out of trouble that didn't do as great either when they got COVID or if they had trouble with the shots. So the muscle testing, hands down, it's been a few years now that folks, no matter what they come in for, it seems like we have to first detoxify those spike proteins, which if people don't know, there's so many theories, right? But the coronavirus, SARS-CoV-2, has on it a protein that's a spike protein. And it's what the virus would use to stick to a cell and go in and infect things. So I'm noticing post-COVID or post-injury from a shot, those spikes have not been detoxed well enough. And they're hanging out, creating a lot of inflammation in the circulatory system.
Inflammation? Wow, in the circulatory system. How would that feel?
Well, a person might experience brain fog. You know, I used to run 5 miles. Now I can only run 2. Gut problems. Some people are like, I dealt with that and that was gone. And now here it is again, this thing that I thought was okay. Mm-hmm. Also, because this inflammatory stress on the body kind of pulls the immune system around a bit, because the immune system, the inflammation is part of that system's work. Mm. So with that chronic inflammation, the immune system's down. So some folks are just, they keep getting the next cold and the next cold. They're like, what the heck? I'm eating well. I'm exercising. Why in the heck am I still catching this? And it can be from that. And the other thing I'd mention is with the immune system being a little distracted, let's say, the things that are usually kept dormant by the immune system, like shingles, Epstein-Barr, which is, you know, kind of chronic fatigue stuff, people who've had Lyme, but it's been in remission for years, and I'd say even cancer, you know, a lot of things coming out of remission with the challenges of the what I'm seeing with the spike protein.
Wow. And yeah, so let's go, let's review that COVID period here a little bit.
sure.
Yeah, so you're doing your practice, it's 2019,
mm-hmm.
And you're seeing routine folks. And mm-hmm. What were some of the things before COVID? What were some of the most common things you were treating or seeing people for?
You know, I would say the most common would be, in the chiropractic sense, just the general can't seem to resolve a certain pain pattern, mm-hmm. you know, or someone who's having trouble with jaw pain or headaches, mm-hmm. you know, that sort of thing, recovering from a shoulder surgery, you know, just typical kind of flow of life stuff.
Mm-hmm.
And then in the nutritional area of things that we did, A lot of hormone imbalances, you know, gut microbiome issues, because we still have always had an issue with the glyphosate, the Roundup that's on all the food. I think a lot of folks have gut issues from the environmental factors there. But pre-COVID, you know, that was kind of, you know, adrenal fatigue, fertility issues, you know, from stress usually.
Yeah.
So pretty easy stuff. Food sensitivities, allergies, you know, helping people with that stuff.
Yeah. Okay. And so then along comes 2020. What was that like for you? How did things change?
Well, I feel like I had a leg up to some degree for dodging the fear. Again, I was studying under Dietrich Klinghart and these other folks who were already talking about stuff, saying, hey, there's a weird immune something going on, and here's what you're going to want to have at your office to help people out and like that. So then when it started ramping up and got really dramatic, I was like, whoa, deer in the headlights. Sent my staff home because a lot of things were kind of getting, you know, people were trying to understand what the heck was going on and, you know, trying to figure out what do we do to get through this and stay safe and protect each other. So for that first January, February, it was kind of surreal. I was the only one in my office. I was kind of treating folks that were frontline, like cafeteria workers at schools were still putting lunches out to kids who didn't rely on that food, who weren't in school. You know, some of the retail folks. We had a lot of retail folks that were still up and out there. Anyway, post-COVID, well, I would say I was helping people over the phone a lot, you know, because if they were sick, we certainly didn't want them to come in, you know, so it was like, you know, fever and just really in it, like hold close at home, and we'd give people some ideas of what to take. I can't really give medical advice over the the microphone here, but, you know, I will say it had a lot to do with vitamin C and D3 and zinc and quercetin and NAC, all these things that the docs who had seen swine flu, SARS-CoV-1, I think, H1N1. Anyway, they used the protocols for that for the current SARS-CoV-2, and it seemed to be quite effective. There were some tweaks they made. But it was a little weird. You know, there was a lot of pressure to not imply to people that those were workable approaches, and people were very nervous that they're, you know, they might call, they tested positive, and their doctors wouldn't necessarily have any thoughts about what to do, just hold tight, and if you get in big trouble, go to the hospital. And we were like, actually, let's throw a couple of things at that to try to help you, you know, help your immune system keep you out of the fire, you know, if we can. So
yeah, that's what we were told. I have a loved one with COPD, and when she had it, you know, we called, and that was they had literally nothing.
Yeah. And, you know, on one hand, I feel like that's okay in the sense that our medical brothers and sisters are so keen at acute emergency level care. Like, oh my God, I wouldn't want to stand in their shoes with that stuff. And then when it comes to functional stuff, where I would love to see it get, you know, more flourishing, it would be like, you know what, here's a couple numbers. You can check in with these clinics. They tend to do functional work. You know, you don't seem to need us right now because you're not in trouble. But we've got some good feedback from these other folks. So,
Referrals.
Yeah, like collaboration, you know. Love and respect and making people feel safe, like their team likes each other and they can work well together.
Yeah, and somebody's at your side. You know, it really felt very lonely, just like, oh, well, if you really can't breathe, come to the emergency room.
I know, that's like, scary.
Yeah.
I mean, good to know you can go, but...
Right. Yeah.
Yeah. And I will say, you know, I know it's a touchy issue, but part of the work I'm up to right now in root cause medicine... is making sure people have a way of, you know, what are your tools for assessing what's happening with your body. Blood labs, you know, MRIs, CT scans, and of course I'm going to throw in there because I'm super biased, the muscle testing of some kind. And, you know, there's saliva testing, there's hair analysis, there's all kinds of things you can check. But have a good tool for seeing where you're at. And then a plan for moving your health forward. And I just think having access to that in a way, because a lot of our folks can't afford these specialized approaches. So if we had a little more, I don't know, again, like a community view on how do we help our people stay vital. Informed consent, I guess, comes to mind, right? Because you need a broader spectrum of information to hear. Like, for example, if you come to me for a chiropractic issue, I have to inform you that chiropractors, 1 in 4 million adjustments of the neck could cause a potential injury to an artery in your neck. It's, you're more at risk taking Advil regularly, but I still have to tell you about it. Mm-hmm. Chiropractors, there have been a broken rib, you know, adjusting a spine. Super rare. I've never seen it happen in my practice or any of my colleagues, but you still have to tell people. And so those are the risks, and here are the benefits. And if this doesn't resonate with you, there's acupuncture. There's physical therapy. You could go back to your doctor about pain management. So now that you have my story and what I do, and you know there's a few other thoughts out there if you want to pursue those, you can make an informed decision. Mm. Which leads me to what happened when the mandates came out for the vaccines was really hard to watch in my practice. Many people, I'd say most of the folks in my practice, I'm going to guess 70%, were very comfortable with vaccines. That's how they work with their doctors around their immune health and did what they were asked to do and, you know, wanted to, had no issues. Some did, actually, but a lot did not. And then the folks that can't because their families have been through events where they know they have injury in their history, that you have to be very careful after that. And so the folks who are in that category, loss of jobs, loss of daycare, loss of friendships. Wow. And a lot of angry energy from the medical community at the lack of compliance, you know. So I don't know. I don't like division. I don't like us and them. I'm more of a yes and girl. Mm. And so when I talk about these things, I always want to be careful to make sure that's my heart. That's how I feel about it. But I saw some really uncool things. And I think if we had a interest in a larger awareness of the diversity of health needs in our community, we might be more curious and then kind when things like this happen. Because that made me push my sleeves up. I'll fight tigers for these people in my practice. So I got a little spicy. And I probably turned some people off because at first I didn't know what to think. And I was very much sharing what I was hearing, but had my own questions too. And once I got more clear and started sharing, we know how to treat this. And it's not for everyone. One size fits all is not safe for everyone. I had some folks leave my practice. They were very upset that I wasn't just doing what you were supposed to do. And I think it's fear. Mm-hmm. You know, it was a fear-based thing because they felt I wasn't keeping them safe if I wasn't, you know, making sure everyone in the office was following the recommendations.
Right. Yeah, it was just so black and white at the time.
And weirdest thing I've ever seen.
Yeah, and instant.
I can sort of get it in the beginning. When we didn't know what the heck was going on, and it seemed like we were against a wall, and you just got to do what you think is going to help. You're shooting from the hip. But once we got more data and we got clear about a lot of stuff and the lack of interest and the censorship, I was kind of like jaw dropped there for a minute. So I sort of lost my heart for a second watching all that, like, whoa, wait, what? Ugh, like trying to see like who is my team here? Who are my colleagues? Who are all these people that I thought I knew with inclusion and curiosity and collaboration?
And care.
And care. which they're all collaborative, caring people.
Yeah.
Again, I'm not going to say us and them. But it was just my experience and the people who tend to seek my care. So on the other side of that, a lot of people are learning more and more things and have more and more questions. I see a little more patience and a little more interest in just making sure everyone is okay. The fear is down, so there's not so much pushy, fear-based stuff. But I will say, again, moderately biased as I may be, mm-hmm. getting those spike proteins out of your system, I find 90% of the folks that come in for whatever they're coming in for as of late, we usually find that there's a need for detoxing those at the front end before we can get into other things. And all these mystery, like, now I'm pre-diabetic, now I've got high blood pressure, now, you know, I've got pancreatic something-something, or my... And so, not to simplify, but many, many times, when we get the spikes out of the blood vessels and circulation, that takes a stress off the liver, which is filtering all that blood. So the liver can start to get a little inflamed, not on a medical level, but functionally. And then you start seeing lymph back up. So why am I so brain fogged? Why am I so fatigued? Why can't I get this knee to heal? Those kind of slow things. When we detox the liver and clear the circulation and get the lymph moving, generally a lot of that goes away. So if I hadn't seen it so hands down over the number of years, I wouldn't be so certain about it. And plus, my docs are talking about it, too, that are like, yep, that's what we're seeing, too. So mm-hmm. everybody's that plays with this lens is working with that.
Yeah. Oh, excellent. So let me just remind folks that we are speaking today with Dr. Susie Harris, owner and functional health physician at Cedarwood Natural Health Center in South Burlington, Vermont. And we're discussing all the services that she offers, her journey becoming a healer, and her journey through the COVID years, and some of the more pressing issues that she's seeing today, mm-hmm. particularly with these spike proteins. So how does one go about cleansing those?
Well, you know, it's different for everybody. I would say the folks that have a harder time clearing them generally have a low-grade inflammation in their health picture. So eating, you know, holistically as much as you can, you know, organic farms, regenerative farms, clean proteins, you know, vegetables, fruits, enough filtered water, move, laugh, you know, get good sleep. So watch the alcohol and the sugar so you can keep the inflammation down. And that gives you a better baseline for not being so thrown off by these spikes. But again, I can't give medical advice.
And I love your approach of, you know, no one size fits all.
It's correct.
Everybody's so unique.
Yeah, but I will say there is a trend. Most folks are testing for vitamin A and C, and maybe quercetin. These are very anti-inflammatory things that can assist getting inflammation out of the blood vessels. Mm. Natokinase is an enzyme that's also helpful, and bromelain. Those are things that can be useful, but I would say don't just jump on all that stuff. It's helpful to get some guidance in those things because you might not need all that or any of that. But anyway, that would get the circulation going, and then general at the liver, we'll see some bile thinning, and then flushing the liver with herbs that are, you know, dandelion, milk thistle, our friends, globe artichoke. So thinning the bile and flushing the liver, clearing the circulation to open up that flow of blood flow, and then cleansing the lymph. A lot of times it's things like chlorophyll, Spanish black radish, things like that that get the lymph moving. So now you've got lymph moving, circulation moving, the liver and colon detox pathways are working better. The kidney bladder detox pathways are working better. And then this upper respiratory, like sinus, brain fog, lungs, and that nagging cough can clear. It's very hard for those things to clear if the downstream detox pathways are kind of congested. So,
right. Where is it clear too?
And that's what people use to achieve that status varies between people. But I'd say for sure baseline is look at if you're eating a lot of bread, pasta, bagel, pizza, cheese, alcohol, ice cream, sugar, you're going to be in a state to be more more affected negatively, you know, and it suppresses your immune system. So little moves at a time. You know, we use food journals in my office, so we kind of take a look. It's not, we're not judging. We just kind of see where are things and circle up the stuff that we know would work against you and say, hey, you know, drop it 20%. And here are some things to try. Think about trying new things more than what I can't have. Mm-hmm. And just gently start shifting away from processed foods that cause a lot of inflammation. And increase your water and filtering your water. That's another thing we talk quite a bit about.
Yeah, tell us about that.
Okay. Well, city water, right? You're either chlorine or chloramine these days. And that's pretty disruptive to the thyroid and the gut microbiome, the lining of the small intestine. Skin, some people get reactive on their skin and don't realize it's coming from that. And other folks, you know, we're also, there's a lot of folks that are very healthy. They're like, I don't know what she's talking about. I drink tap water. It's fine. I'm an athlete. I do great things. And this water's fine. Mm-hmm. But sometimes when you come in and we're like, oh, look, this tissue's down. And it's pointing to chlorine or chloramine.
Oh.
And it happens a lot. With wells, generally, we can find either fungal or parasitic things or pesticides, things like that, and runoff. So, and it comes and goes, you know, like if we've had some real heavy rains, I'll pick up more environmental toxins in the well water. And, you know, some people have amazing, like super deep wells, and that's less common. Mm-hmm. So filtering, it's different for everyone. If you've got a well and it's not that big of a thing, you can get away with like a Brita or some easy pitcher, not a big, you know, your refrigerator if it does the water thing. Mm-hmm. But if you're softening your well water with the salts, you know, the softening salts, not ideal to drink. I think most of the industry would disagree with that statement, but so filtering after the water softening system, you know, either from your tap, it goes through a filter. I prefer the Berkey myself, the Berkey filter, because it just gets everything out of there. But there are other brands. Aquasana does a decent job. But for the city water, similar, you know, tap water is not going to really be great for you in the long run. So, and the Brita style smaller filters don't generally nail it. You kind of have to be a little bit more involved in that. So whole house filtration in the basement is awesome. You're usually looking at a couple grand though. So the nice thing about that is you're not having to constantly get clean water in and all your taps are filtered. Mm-hmm. So if that's too hot, then, you know, there are things you can put under your sink and on your shower filter that you just change the filter every 3 to 6 months. And you're looking at more like $200, $300 investment. But I don't think city water, the Brita is really, doesn't always nail it.
Mm. And so shower water too, because.
Truth. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Hot showers, like drinking, you know, 3-4 glasses really with what comes through your skin. You know how we can put medication on our skin. It goes right into the bloodstream. Mm. Same thing with hot shower water.
Wow.
It's interesting. You'll see, like, if you shift to filtering, your skin, your hair feels much different than, and you might not have noticed because we're so used to stuff. We're so lucky to have running water.
Right.
You know what I mean? So yeah. It's like I can walk to that hot water spigot, and that's really something I'm grateful for. But when it's really more important, it's important for everyone, but it's especially important for people who are stuck in a health condition that they can't seem to shift. Mm-hmm. So those little nagging blockers. It's like, you know, what are the barriers to a body's ability to heal itself? Commonly, environmental toxins like chemicals, metals, foods, you know, can be in the mix. Gut microbiome imbalances like fungus, parasites, bacteria. What else do we work with? So chemicals, metals, foods. Yeah, and also scar tissue. I don't know how much you want me to keep talking.
Yeah, let's hear about that, because I do know some folks who have had trouble with that.
Yeah, maybe. So yeah. Scar tissue is a big deal. There's in the muscle testing at the front end of seeing if I can use this method with people, there's a few things we do to see, do you give a normal response in these particular tests that we do? And if they're off, a lot of times it's because there's scar tissue interfering with the nervous system's ability to regulate.
Oh, like pressing on the pathway it's trying to use?
Or? It's an interesting, yeah, like for example, well, you know, there's two parts to your nervous system, voluntary, I'm going to reach over and do this thing on purpose, that's my voluntary nervous system. And then there's that involuntary side that is like fight or flight versus regulating your digestion and hormones and all the healing stuff. Scars, because they have a slight tug, you don't always feel them. Some people do if they're significant scars, but they can be seemingly meaningless scars. The chin wipe out as a kid scar, you know, mm-hmm. has a tug that can get the nervous system distracted in a way that messes with that part that regulates heart rate, breath rate, digestion. It's an interesting leap of faith to think about that. But with the muscle testing, I may go over someone's heart and they go weak. We test foods, we test nutrients and all these things, and it doesn't seem to shift why the heart was going weak. And then when I put treatment for scars up there, they go strong. And I might learn that, oh, they had a breast reduction and didn't realize that the scar on that side was having an effect on the neurological activity of the heart.
Wow, yeah.
So you just soften the scar with vitamin E oil. We use wheat germ or sesame seed oil in my office, and some people get into cold lasering if it's been like a breast reduction surgery or any of the breast cancer type surgeries. But, you know, yeah, it's very interesting. It's every day I always, it's like CSI without the blood, figuring out what's going on with each person who comes in. It's very, I'm still fascinated every day with what we figure out. It's cool.
Yeah, constantly learning, mm-hmm. for sure.
Yeah, and people that are in my office have other doctors that they have on their team, and I'm always learning from them. The people that come for care know a lot, so I really like the collaborative relationship we have, because I'm always learning stuff.
Yeah. And so speaking of cleansing, you're having a cleansing course coming up, right?
Yes, I am. This is a online course. It's going to be a 3-week, 21-day cleanse. I've done it once before, and it was a big success. So we're doing it again now, especially coming into the fall. Your kids are going back to school, and here comes cold and flu season. So stay on your feet.
Right.
Yeah. So it has 3 modules. People will get an email once a Sunday from, I think it's September 22nd through October 11th is the span of the 3 weeks. But each week you get an email that gives you downloadable tips and, you know, Qigong exercises and meditative music, things to keep you in a good mindset, as well as things to move your lymph and, you know, kind of recipes and meal planning. And then every Thursday for that 3 weeks at 5 o'clock, there's a live call with me, Q&A. I usually drop some other tips into those calls, but generally just listening to what people might be needing to make sure they're getting what they need. And what else? Oh, if the person is local, because we do have some folks that are not local, they can come into my office and do a muscle testing session to personalize their cleanse. Like sometimes a cleanse is back off the alcohol and sugar and up your water and take some walks, you know, and that's okay. That's like a shift. You're trying to shift something. Mm-hmm. For other folks, it might involve herbs and, you know, different, you know, nutritive supplements. So you can personalize that cleanse by coming in before it and then come in again after it to see how it changed after you shifted some things.
Great.
So
yeah. So how would folks get a hold of you if they're interested in learning more?
Well, they can go to my website that you mentioned earlier, cedarwoodnaturalhealthcenter.com. We're on Facebook. We're on Instagram. Mm-hmm. Let's see. Where else are we? You can call my office. It's 802-863-5828. And my staff can help triage. If you're looking for something, they can help you understand, are you coming in for chiropractic as your entry, or is it more the autonomic response testing, muscle testing stuff? So yeah, we also have a podcast called Next 7. It's kind of just, it's new. There's 14 or 15 episodes out there, but there's some interesting stuff out there too.
Yeah, those are definitely interesting. So right on your website, you have the podcast and even a video format that. Yeah, interviewing different practitioners and things.
Yeah, it's pretty cool. I was trying to bring on practitioners that offer different root cause type methods, and also farmers. You know, I'm very much invested in advocating for regenerative and organic farming. And then just, it's really meant to leave behind us. It's called Next Seven because my heart feels attached to leaving behind us a world that, you know, our youth can thrive in for the next seven generations. Mm-hmm. And I tag on these days, bringing our current day elders into the mix. So living joyfully.
Yeah.
Yeah. So like feeling a part of things and having access to clean food, clean water, and functional health care.
Mm-hmm.
Taking care of each other.
Yeah.
Tending to things.
In a very holistic mm-hmm. way.
Yeah.
And kind of that, I love that life coaching and almost and mm-hmm. supporting people through all those changes.
Yeah, that's what I love the most about this style is people learn so much about their body during the process. So they're more functional for themselves and their family. They know how to roll through different things. Great questions for their current practitioners
mm-hmm.
and, you know, makes them more in charge of their wellness, I would say.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. And avoiding those pollutants or cleaning our environment mm-hmm. of the pollutants and having healthier food, mm-hmm. Regenerative farming.
Mm-hmm.
This is a big passion of yours.
It really is. I have, I did a video with a farm up in Highgate, Schwanier Family Farm. I'm still waiting for the footage to get some editing done. But yeah, going around talking to these farmers and asking, like, why are you doing this? And what's fun and easy and amazing? And what's hard? And what are the barriers? How can your community support you? Because you're giving us an option for some clean food. And also policy. How can we pay attention and try to help support these farms to be well financially and balanced through policy that supports them as well. So cool stuff to learn. The one thing I loved the most talking to Matt Schwanier is they diversify the plants where they have their grass-fed cows. They have grass where they graze, but around the farm to make themselves organic, they've got a lot of diversification. And it sequesters CO2. So talking about climate change, if people are worried about that, it's definitely less water runoff. And so it's mm-hmm. water protection. And the beings on the farm are much healthier. The food coming off is very clean. And the farmers are healthier. So, I mean, it's such a win-win, all-around win that I'm super invested in seeing more people have access to that, both farming that way if they wish to, and having access to that food.
Yeah. Yeah. And so what do you like to eat and things like that? Mm. What have been some changes in your own life that you've seen?
Oh, my goodness.
Helpful.
Well, this is kind of funny. When I first started training to do the muscle testing, it was new to me. I was already muscle testing in my chiropractic work, but this nutrition approach and testing over organs, I was kind of like, what? Anyway, I engaged in the training, and we had to bring food journals so that the teaching doctors could go through them and teach us how to be, you know, useful looking a food journal over and help people. Well, at the time, they were going anonymous.
That's great.
The doc was like, okay, we've got pancakes, martinis. And I shot and said, well, not together, friends.
I know.
Okay. But so I moved away from such a carb-heavy diet. It's not for everybody's bodies are so different, first of all. So less bread, pasta, bagel stuff, and more like fish and chicken. I'm not vegetarian or vegan myself.
Mm-hmm.
Beans and legumes, and, you know, like for breakfast, I'm an intermittent faster, so I don't really eat early.
Mm.
But by the time I am eating lunch, it's usually like some soup I've made or a salad, or maybe I'll hit one of the Eco Bean for a quick organic rice bowl or something that they have. And then dinner is usually some kind of, my partner's vegetarian, so I eat a lot of vegetarian, like vegetable dishes and things like that. But I'll also do my own thing on the grill with, like, I like eating burgers and
mm-hmm.
Anything from a clean farm, you know, grilled proteins along with veggies. I really love putting fermented foods in the mix, like just a tablespoon or so of kimchi or sauerkraut or something to mm-hmm. help your gut microbiome. Drinking enough water and mostly watching out for sugar, not eating a lot of sugar and alcohol, bread, mm-hmm. that sort of thing.
Yeah. Yeah, because you need to keep your strength up.
Yeah, with the muscle testing, you can pick your imbalances up in the other person. So you have to take care of yourself. And I'm not perfect because I know my partner's going to be hearing this. So, I like pizza. I like a good cocktail. I don't try for perfection because I think that's kind of, that's not fun or, whatever. If your body isn't healthy when you do moderation, then you got to get tighter. But usually moderation in most of that stuff is just fine when you're really using the rest of the time to do nutrient-dense foods.
Yeah, like nourishment, that you're fully nourished.
That's it. And play with the sauces, if you're like, ugh, this thing again, you can make stuff different with, you're either sauteing it or grilling it or baking it, and then pay attention to different amazing sauces that you can use that aren't hard to make at home. Dressings aren't hard to make at home. That's one of the things we teach in the cleanse, because the more you can have from your own kitchen, the less preservatives and weird stuff, and you start to notice less knee pain, less headaches, less allergy, less, it's because you're knocking the inflammation back.
Yeah, inflammation, we hear a lot about that, and it does seem to be, the cause of a lot of discomfort.
Yeah. So healthy fats, I haven't mentioned that. Mm. Yes to that. That's so healthy. Olive oils, organic butters, avocado oil, the fat that's in eggs and organic meats and stuff. Mm. I know people worry about the cholesterol and that sort of thing, but we can talk about that another time. It's usually elevated blood sugars that cause plaquing in the vasculature.
Yeah.
So you can have a beautiful cholesterol, according to medical labs, 180, but if you've got elevated insulin because you're too much sugar and carbs, you can have the same problem with your cardiovascular stuff. So healthy fats, good for the brain.
Yeah. Yeah. So are you looking at these lab results? Is that part of what you
I do, assess? Yeah. I usually have folks, I like to see people have a primary care physician and, maybe once a year or every other year get your labs done so we can see where are you. And if people are in a layered complex like Lyme or autoimmune or cancer, they're usually coming to me with those labs already. And I'm not treating any of those things, but I'm alongside trying to help make sure that we're moving toxins out, maybe making certain the gut is in the space where they can absorb nutrition, so they can get through the treatments, whatever they're choosing for their stuff. But yeah, labs are helpful. They're not deep enough, though, I'd say, because generally labs are going to show you when a medical situation is surfacing. So you can have thyroid imbalances and have a normal lab because it's not bad enough to show up in a medical test yet. Mm-hmm. But functionally, you're reading the symptoms and you're like, I know this is my thyroid. And you go get your labs and they're like, nope, your thyroid's great. And you're like, wait, what? I was certain it was that. And people will come in and we'll pick up like the adrenals are actually down, or there might be mercury toxicity affecting, like from fillings affecting the thyroid. So we'll find things that are affecting the thyroid and it isn't functioning as highly as it could be. So they are feeling thyroid symptoms, but they don't have a thyroid disease at that point. So another reason I like labs, but I also love this additional lens that lets you look at what's in the way of the body's ability to heal itself and right itself, really.
Yeah, and kind of getting back to trusting your own connection with your own body and what it's telling you.
Yep.
I know you had interviewed Dr. Grace Johnstone.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, and she helped me a number of years ago with a headache, that just kept coming back, and just her very subtle touching. It was so informative, to just teach me about my own alignment so that then I could respond.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and her work and many others, but hers especially, tapping into traumas the body has gone through and not released and holds a lack of energy in the area that may have been hurt. It could have been something simple like you wiped out playing a softball game, but there's a pattern holding in your body that didn't let go of that trauma.
Yeah.
So some of her work is just energetic and amazing for clearing these weird, deeper layer things that let the body come back up and start engaging with the good stuff that you're doing for yourself.
Yeah, it sounds like relying on the body's ability
I mean, it's innate intelligence, y'all.
Innate intelligence. I love that. Mm-hmm. Innate intelligence, y'all. And I also really appreciate when we were talking on the phone and you were mentioning, you know, the frontline workers, the daycare workers, you know, I love that you're helping folks, because that's one thing I do worry about is that people can't really, you know, access the health care they need anymore.
That's true.
It's a big problem.
And it's bigger. It's more than I wish. Mm-hmm. There are a lot of folks who come for the first visit and see the time, you know, it's not a quick fix, sort of like physical therapy or chiropractic. You have to come, you know, like maybe once a week or every other week for 2-3 visits. Then it's go out a couple weeks for 2-3 visits. Mm-hmm. It's the supplements, it's the getting there. So for folks who can't pull that off, you do get some great information out of that first session that you can take home or to another practitioner that takes your insurance and try to work it in that way and come back in like, you know, a couple months and see, hey, how did what you're doing out there, what you figured out, how did it change what we saw at that first visit? Mm-hmm. So there's more than one way for folks who can't fully dive into the whole program that we have. Most people can make it work, though, because we figure it out. If someone really wants to do it, we figure it out.
And I love it. You keep saying we.
Yes.
Who's on your team? I mean, it's a team effort there at your office.
Oh, yeah. Well, my front desk staff, I have Angie and Mary Jo there. They definitely have people's backs when they call in to try to get them in the right appointments. And they're just so loving. They care so much about people that come in there. And they also help with some of the front end new patient things that happen, you know, kind of getting people set up for me to come in and chat with them and figure things out. So at this point, it's myself and those two folks. But when I say we, I kind of mean the patient.
Oh, that's cool.
And their other practitioners, you know what I mean? Mm-hmm. And yeah, it's like a community effort. You are the highest knower of your body. When people leave our office with the suggestions, it's also, and if something doesn't feel right, pay attention, give me a call, because you know what you know. Mm-hmm. This is a guide. You get into doing this and you feel like, oof, I don't know if I should be taking that certain one or whatever.
Right. And then as we might heal, things are going to keep changing in our body all the time.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. I will say the we also, these guys aren't in the mix of my practice, but they do rent space in my office. Theta Massage and Body Work. Deanna and Emily are there doing great body work. We also have Drea Tremels with Soul Vibration Wellness. She's in there doing lymph massage and other soft tissue work. And Rose Diamond is in doing craniosacral and lymph work, and also Aaron Hellpap. All these folks are renting space and they're doing some of the stress and body work type stuff for the in their own businesses, but in our space.
Nice.
So that's cool.
Yeah.
Yeah. We're a fun little family. We get together outside of there and do some silliness a few times a year just to like, we just really enjoy each other's company.
Oh, great. Well, and speaking of other fun things, I've also seen you play in a band.
Oh.
What's the name of it again?
My goodness. Are you talking about, Not Nuns in a Bad Habit?
Yes. Not Nuns in a Bad Habit.
My partner Antara and her best friend Jean Chappelle from Keene, they played as a duet for years as Not Nuns. And then I was a jazz singer before I became a doctor.
Oh.
I know, right?
That's
so
great.
I mean, that's something I did on the side. It's not like it was my career, although there was a stint there where it was what I was doing for a living. Mm-hmm. But when I play with those guys, we do covers, and I was the Bad Habit, apparently.
You're the Bad
So, yeah, we did a benefit for Vermont Stands Up. Like I said earlier, I pushed my sleeves up and got kind of spicy protecting my family's from mandate type things. And Vermont Stands Up was an organization that I was on the board for a bit and trying to help organize space for people to be who had questions and who couldn't, you know, do the one size fits all thing. They really got kind of pushed in a isolated place. So advocating for those guys. And we did a fundraiser out at Cold Hollow Cider. And that Not Nuns in a Bad Habit played. So that was pretty fun.
That's one of my best memories.
It was
the whole, you know, debacle, you know, was coming together. But then especially that benefit. You guys did great.
It was a good one.
Good. Yeah.
Yeah. We're probably going to do something again soon. Cedarwood used to do once a year, because I'm a musician and I miss it. I'll get some friends together and play maybe a 45-minute set, and maybe bring in a couple other musicians who have a following, and charge $20 at the door. And I think one year it went to Spectrum Youth Services and Homeless Vets was a year, and Food Shelf. Just kind of give the money to something that needs help, and have a night of getting together and having some fun.
Oh, excellent.
Mm-hmm. So I'm thinking, what is this? This is September still? Mm-hmm. Probably. It's usually right around February when people are getting cabin fever.
Yeah.
We pull them out and have them come have some fun with us.
Come warm up.
Yeah. So if you want to go to our website, you can click in to join our newsletter. We send out a newsletter once a month. It's got some interesting information and ways to connect with us if you want.
Oh, fantastic. So you're a jazz singer, too.
Oh, my goodness.
Oh, we definitely squeezed in all five H's, I think, here.
Thank God.
Yeah, right. Yeah, I know. That's what it's all about.
Oh, I so appreciate you having me on here. I really have really been very impressed with your own advocacy for people and how you stand up and bring all these good things to the community. Super appreciate it.
Yeah, well, we have such an amazing community. You know, it just seems like it's abundant with people
yes.
like you who just care so much.
Yeah.
And you're giving it all you've got, you know, from creative thought, you know, and inquisitiveness and curiosity. Mm. And I love when you say, you know, just standing by these folks, rolling up your sleeves, like, hey, get it. Treat my people better.
Yeah, I think, you know, together is the way it goes. And joyful living is what we're after. So just living the life you love.
Yeah, fantastic. Those are great words to have folks echoing in their ears as we take off here. I've been speaking today with Dr. Susie, Harris from Cedarwood Natural Health. Whoops, I'm sorry, I'm missing it. Cedarwood Natural Health Center.
That's it.
In South Burlington. And the website again is
CedarwoodNaturalHealthCenter.com.
Great. Yeah, so folks, if you're interested, you can reach out to Dr. Harris here. Thank you, Susie, for coming in today.
Oh, it's my pleasure.
Yeah, we'll have you back again sometime.
Okay, sounds great.
All right. All right, folks, thanks for joining us. If you're looking for this episode in the future or any previous episodes of the 5-H Show, you can go to amyvt.com and you can find previous episodes there. And coming up next week, just to let folks know, I have Pastor Ed Wheeler is going to be here next week. And then I also have David Zuckerman signed
up. Right.
Yeah, for the 6th of October to complete our Lieutenant Governor tour that we've been making
nice
here.
Nice work. Information, so helpful.
Yes.
Thank you for everything you're doing.
Yes, thank you. And that's what it's all about, right? Sharing the good news. Mm-hmm. Yeah. All right, folks, enjoy this beautiful autumn day almost.